Hello. My voice is very soft. Last week, when I gave you all those examples of translations and visitations and all of those things, I really, after the week went on, I became concerned because I wanted y'all to know that that's only probably 5% of what you get from God, those massive, important things like a visitation or a translation. That's probably only 5% of the things that you would get from God. Mostly you get from God the things she's talking about, where you just hear this still small voice, and it's a very brief, light picture. And I can tell you this, the longer you know God, the more you walk with Him, the lighter the picture gets, the briefer the picture gets, because He thinks you know Him, and you understand, and you recognize His voice, and you should be listening and catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of things getting more brilliant and louder and more clear, it gets thinner. So I didn't want you to think that if God didn't say, "Thus saith the Lord," and you hear a loud booming voice and see this brilliant color vision, that you weren't hearing from God, because that is not true. In fact, as I went to, God sent me to a meeting specifically to start speaking to me in a different way. And in that particular meeting, and I argued with Him, I didn't want to go, I had other plans, it was an obedience thing. And I went, and when He spoke to me that night, it didn't come through my head, it didn't come through sound, it didn't come through of image, it came directly into my spirit and then was full-blown a knowing. It was like spirit to spirit. It wasn't like a normal knowing. It was like you had a download knowing of an understanding of something. And I verified things I got that night by asking the people that the word was for, and they said yes. So God was training me, seeing if I'd be obedient when it wasn't what I wanted to do. So I just wanted to encourage you, when you're doing these activations, just because it's very thin or very light or it's not this major color vision doesn't mean you're not hearing from God. Trust that you are hearing from God. It doesn't have to, and the more you know Him, it's like your husband or wife, the less, the quieter, the smaller, the thinner that word is.
Thank you. You can go. Anybody can hear a loud booming voice. But to know just the slightest movement of a person, which you could say maybe with our children or our husband, that's meant for intimacy. So don't short-circuit yourself and think, I need something bigger, more. Okay, we're going to number off because we're going to do some activations that mean numbering. Would you be number one? You don't want to do it? Okay, 15. I need one more at least. 16. Okay. We're going to do the wall activation where the first group's going to stand against the wall. So odd numbers, stand up and find your place on the wall. Did you all do this one last week? Okay. You can do, well, no, this is a real good one because you're not using your senses. All you know is somebody came up and stood behind you. It's the potting soil. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think I counted Dana. I figured Dan. She told you were nothing? That's not true. We canceled that. Okay. Now, if you're even numbered, go stand. Everybody who's odd, face the wall, please, so you're not looking at who's coming up to you. Okay. Please go and find somebody and put your hand Okay? Now I'm going to pray. You do remember your number. Even numbers go behind somebody who's an odd number. Okay? I'm going to pray. Father God, we praise and we thank you that the spirit of prophecy is in this room. The testimony of Jesus is in this room. The spirit of revelation is in this room. Father God, we praise and we thank you that you are a God who wants us to hear. You're God who eagerly desires that we prophesy above all other gifts. So in Jesus' name, I thank you for what you're going to release on my brothers and sisters. Okay, so the person who's standing against the wall, number the odd number, would you please pray in the spirit? In the minute you stop, you're going to get something. I want you to release it over the person behind you without turning around. Without turning around. Okay? Person against the wall, be praying in spirit. Eyes on Jesus. Yes, sit down after you're done. Very good. That way I know. If you're done, you can write down what they gave you, if you received a word. So you can war over your words. Okay. Alrighty. Now, we're going to do it real quick again. If you're an even number, go stand against the wall. And you already know what you're doing, so the even number is you're going to stand against the wall, be praying in the spirit. Holy Spirit knows who's going to lay their hand on you. So even numbers against the wall. Okay. Then odd numbers, go and put your hand on somebody. And even numbers, the minute you stop, you feel like you have the unction to stop praying in the spirit of focusing on Jesus, release the first thing you get. Somebody over here. Somebody that needs an odd number person over here. Are we missing somebody all of a sudden? Okay, somehow it got out of... Yeah, there, we're two people. Two, there's no partner for two against this wall over here. Did we lose some people? Somebody must have went to the restroom or something, yes. Okay. Are you two done already? Okay. You want to go? Okay. Thank you. First thing you get. And when you're done, you can sit down. Thank you. Spirit of prophecy and revelation, Lord. Remember, it can be a feeling. It doesn't have to be a picture or word. It could just be a feeling you're getting. Did you freak out because you had to prophesy over him? Were you freaking out because you had to prophesy over him? Hello? If you didn't record your revelation, write it down. If you didn't record it on a phone or a recorder. Okay, everybody's done? Okay, how about someone sharing a testimony? One quick testimony, something that was said to you that was funny, encouraging. Nobody got an encouraging word? Come on. Somebody. Who wants to bless other people in the room? I don't know what it is, I forget. Give it to something you shared, something you got, something that was funny, something.
Well, Stoney gave me a word, but I gave one back to him. It just came back to me to give him a word right after that. And I saw him as a spiritual construction worker, and that God says he's a very careful builder. I didn't know he was using that profession, but the Lord showed me that, and that in the natural world, you're also going to be, in the spiritual world, you're going to be, it's going to be an imitation of what you are in the natural, and you're going to be building spiritual houses with great care, with great purpose.
Thank you. See, God doesn't waste anything, does he, Stoney? He's going to use your natural profession to advance his kingdom in the spirit. Okay. Now let's talk about are you hearing me clearly? You know, I guess I'm only hearing this one speaker back here, so it doesn't sound right. T- to me. I could tell back here. Up. Turn it up. Okay. Mike's going to turn it up. Now, what was Jesus' pattern? Luke 5:16 says this, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. It was his pattern. We know that it would say that he regularly went to the Mount of Olives. It's up pretty high. Hello? Ooh, there we go. It's like something broke open. Okay. I love that word withdrew. You know what it means? If you look at it in the Hebrew, it means Allah, to ascend and to climb. God said he went to the wilderness, to a place of waiting where nothing else could possibly happen except him be alone with God. Why? So he could ascend. So you want to go higher with the Lord? Are you in a wilderness right now? That should be encouraging. See, the enemy will tell us nothing's happening while we're waiting, and that isn't true. Be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10 says. I actually have that one right next to my, where I do most of my quiet time in my studying. That word still is Rapha. Does that sound like something? Rapha? Doesn't it sound like Jehovah Rapha? It's just one letter difference. Okay? And it means to just relax, let things go. And I firmly believe that when we are still is when he heals us. It's one of the ways he heals. And I remember, I think this was years ago, hearing Beth Moore do a teaching on that word, Rapha, and she said it means more like a stitch at a time. But if you're running away from God and you're never sitting still, how can he stitch anything back together? That's what I'll never forget that, because that made total sense to me. Would you sit still so I can heal you? And it's not just physical healing. I'm talking, a lot of us need emotional healing, right? Okay. Thank you so much, Mike. Joseph waited, didn't he? Not only was he thrown into slavery, then he was an imprisoned slave. How good is that? But God did finally move. That dream came to pass, didn't it? He was waiting. David, anointed as king, waited a long time. He had wilderness and fugitive experiences to get him to where he needed to be. We can wait too. It really is a discipline worth developing. This is one of my favorite verses. Isaiah 40:31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and they will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. That word wait means to look, hope, expect, linger. As we're continually waiting for him, he's doing something. That word also means, I love expect, which I told you is the atmosphere for receiving from him. And what are we going to receive? In this one, it's very clear. You get strength. You get to go higher. You get to run so you don't get tired. He makes you walk so you're not weary. That's all in waiting. Waiting, waiting, waiting. We're in a culture, you ever stand at the microwave, hurry up, hurry up. Yeah. Why is this drive-through so slow? I'm in a hurry. Wow. All right. Let's talk about the last discipline in receiving revelation. Prayer. I was actually for several years prayer leader in the church I was in. It was the least attended meeting. Now I can tell you, there's a church in my region of the city. They feed the people and they have like hundreds come. I was not going to feed people to get them to come to a prayer meeting. It was the same people all the time. It really frustrated me. I would say, Lord, what's going on here? God showed me, I'll tell you what he showed me in the spirit. He said, when most people pray, it's like throwing a sticky note at the ceiling and hoping it'll stick. Now, every once in a while, we could probably sit and I'd give you all a pad of sticky notes, and we might get one or two, maybe. That was, he told me, the attitude towards prayer. They just weren't sure it accomplished anything. And I was confident it accomplished everything. So what is prayer? Prayer is basically just communicating with God. It can be structured. I was in a group that was very structured. We actually had a notebook. Part of my plan for the prayer ministry before I got pregnant with Joshua was actually a command center where I had tables all laid out, and you would walk through this command. You would do nations, the city, the sick in this church, that type of thing. But it can also be, and this is my favorite, as easy as breathing. Just talking to God. How much do you pray a day, Deb? I have no clue. Now, how much do I sit still with God? I might be able to give you the answer. But pray, I don't think I could ever give you that answer. I'm praying when I'm laying in bed. I get up in the middle of the night, I'm asking him questions. I am talking all day long. I was being discipled, and the first verse I memorized was 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17. Love this. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And I looked at the woman discipling me, and I go, well, I can't do that. I have kids. This is me looking at her, and she goes, no. Just talk to God like he's with you. He's with you, isn't he? And I'm like, well, yeah. And that's how I learned to pray. I just talked to God all day long. It was a natural flow. It was a relationship. You're with yourself and God more than any other being on the planet. Think about it. So you better love you and you better love God because that's who you're with all day long. Okay? Praying in the Spirit opens floodgates of understanding of revelation from Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:18 says this. I pray this. God, I want to say to you that I thank you that I speak more than other people in tongues. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. See, Paul was a Texan. More than you all. Okay. Now, how many of you don't raise your hand because I don't want you to go, oh, like I'm so embarrassed to raise my hand. But you wish you prayed in tongues more. Don't raise your hand. Okay. I go through seasons like that. Right now I'm in a season where I am constantly praying in tongues because I have 4 sheep that are kind of in rebellion right now that God's like, I need you to pray these people through. So I am praying in tongues. I'll wake up and their face will come before my mind. And I'll be like, oh. And I'll be praying in tongues because I just can't deal with praying. They're not listening to the truth. And so I've got to pray until he, and that's the way I'm handling that situation right now. That's not always the way I handle it. It's just the way I have to handle this right now. And there's 4 of them at the same time. So why don't we do this together? How many, you can raise your hand on this. How many of you would like to pray in tongues more? Okay. Well, why don't we ask them right now? Holy Spirit, prompt me when I need to pray in tongues. That's it. If you meant it, he's going to start prompting you. Okay. A lot of times when I'm in the car, I pray in tongues. It's a good time. In the shower. Things like that. Wasted time. When I'm cleaning. Cleaning is a great time to pray in tongues. Now, let's go over the 4 keys again. I'm going to say them and you repeat them back to me. These are 4 keys to revelation. The first is stay in peace. The second is meditate on God's word. Third is wait on God. And the fourth is prayer. There you go. Stay in peace, meditate in the word, wait in prayer. And I have to put meditate in the word because believe me, if you struggle in that area, you are already meditating. I can guarantee you are rehearsing a circumstance, a situation, something again and again and again. If it's anything you've chewed on more than one time, you're meditating. So don't say that you can't meditate. It's just you're meditating on the wrong thing. Now we're going to talk about interpreting revelation. Now since we learned how to receive revelation, the same exact keys are used in interpreting. Make sure you're in peace. Doesn't that make sense? Make sure that you're in the Word. You're making sure that your eyes are focused on the truth. Okay? That you get before Lord and wait. And you talk to Him. But when you talk, it's going to be two-way. It's going to be a dialogue. You can talk a little, but then let God talk. Now, when I need to get something, and then I need an interpretation, especially if it's serious, I had a friend get a very horrible diagnosis, and we needed to hear. So there were several times we got together to just get still. Not talk to each other, but we're like, okay, God, we're here, we're serious, you better give us something. And then we would all be in different parts of the, like my house or something, you know, but we wouldn't be talking to each other, we'd be talking to the Lord, and then we would come together and share what we got. And then we would give the information to the husband. Here's what we feel like Holy Spirit said. And in this process, the woman even got baptized in the Holy Spirit. the cancer patient, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. She ended up dying, unfortunately, but she lived way, way, way longer than they ever said. Like, I'm talking way longer. They gave her 2 or 3 days after she got out of the hospital. Okay? So when serious stuff like that comes, that's one of the times I get, do all 4 of those keys to receive, then make sure I'm getting the correct interpretation. And then, like, I'll give it to whoever the person is. Here is what I say. Now, let me give you something, because I'll tell you an area of the enemy will get you all out of balance in. Not every prayer assignment is your assignment. even if they're emailing you in your inbox, I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm with a different group of intercessors right now. We pray for Israel once a month. And at least twice in that meeting, God had me release over them, don't take on an intercessor assignment unless it's yours. And he had me release over them Nehemiah building the wall. If you're not building your portion of the wall and you're running over there to build somebody else's portion of the wall, you're not getting anything done. You're cutting your time way down. Do you want me to handle this, Lord? Is this part of my assignment? Just because we get asked. Now, maybe you don't get a lot of that because people know I'm an intercessor. I'm getting calls and stuff. Pray for me, text, pray for me, you know. And I just have to have the peace that if he doesn't tell me to do it, somebody else is going to be doing it. Right? Is he the master, isn't he? I'm just telling you the areas I've fallen out of balance. I'll go, you can't stay up 24 hours a day. I was with a friend not too long ago, probably 2 months ago at something. And I hadn't, we just don't get to see each other all that often. And I was asking her how she's doing. She goes, oh, people, she goes, just ministering to people. Pray for this, pray. They're calling me day and night. They're texting me. And I'm like, telling her, don't take it unless God's telling you. You got to be very clear. This is where the prophetic is going to be very practical for you. Do I take this assignment or don't I? And then you have to realize if he doesn't give you the green light to go, let it go. Somebody else is praying, right? Right now he's giving me the green light on 4 different people, and I'm thinking, I thought I was going to rest after the Passover Seder. These people are calling me, texting me, emailing me, okay? Do you see what I'm saying? But I do know that these are intercessory assignments. He's told me that they are, okay? Does that make sense? So watch, the enemy might go, oh, okay, they're being real responsive to God, and they think they're doing a good thing and really serving him and serving the kingdom. Let's get them way out of balance. So the enemy will try to get tons of people. So this is where you just have to go, I'm not God. He is, and he's not telling me to do that, okay? Now, interpretation, I want all ears and eyes facing me. This is where the most mistakes are made. Interpretation, okay? Interpretation is where the most mistakes are made. So this one, you be extra cautious on. See, most of the time when God speaks, he speaks in symbols, right? He'll give you little flashes, little pictures. And you might think it means something to you, and it means something totally opposite. For example, what if I said the word coal, C-O-A-L, like coal, okay? Just somebody yell, a couple people yell out some things. Like, say you get a picture of coal, what would you say with that? Black, fire, diamond. Okay, those are good answers. If you came up and gave me the word coal and you gave me any of those answers, you would be using your own opinion. Because you know what coal means to me? My grandpa died from black lung from being a coal miner. You wouldn't know that. All those are great things, and they're great. You know, here's the symbol, and you saw it. Do you see where you really would have went off, and it might have been something he was trying to tell me that my grandfather... Would you see what I'm saying? So here's what you do, and I'm going to give you an example because I had this happen this weekend here. I saw on Saturday, I saw a symbol of, remember those paper chains you used to make when you're a kid and you put them on a Christmas tree or you decorate your classroom with them and you'd cut the construction paper and glue them and make a chain. And so this gentleman was standing in front of me and I saw a paper chain on them. Okay, I said, I'm seeing a paper chain, and I didn't have anything to say about it. And he's like, a what? I said, a paper chain. I said, does that mean anything to you? And he's like, no. You know? And then the person was standing next to him saying something. And then I said, well, I'm just going to give it to you because I don't know. And then right when I said that, I saw God come down, take his hands, and rip the paper chain. I didn't have the full interpretation. I had to just give him what I saw. Maybe he would have known something. He didn't. I'm like, okay. I was getting ready to leave it until he showed me the next picture because there was a lag in time. I wasn't picking up what it was. Don't feel like you have to give 3 paragraphs. I'm telling you, if you just get an apple, say the word apple. Okay? One time, and Dan, I meant to tell you this. One time, this was a couple months ago, you were standing over there and you said, God says to tell you, you are hearing him. Do you know how many times God has brought that back to me? Because he's taking me into some deep things with the Hebrew language. And I'm like, am I hearing you right? And then he'll flash you, saying, I'm telling you, you are hearing me. Do you see how his simple, that was just like a little sentence. But God will flash him saying that back into my mind. You are hearing me. He'll flash Dana giving me that word like, of course she knows she's hearing you, but you released it anyhow. And I thank you for being obedient. He didn't have to interpret it. God says you are hearing him. Okay. We don't have to give an interpretation we're not getting. How do you know? You'll know if the anointing's on it. I don't feel an anointing. I didn't feel an anointing on paper chain. All I did was say it. I said, well, I'll just give this to you. I didn't know. Maybe he brought, you know, I used to build those with my dad when I was a kid. He wasn't getting like, no, that means nothing to me. And I'm like, oh, brother. Okay, well, leave it there. And I was getting ready to say what I usually say in your quiet time with the Lord when you're unpackaging your prophetic word. Press in to find. I was just getting ready to say that, and I saw it rip. And then I told them, then I knew what it was. I said, God is saying he's getting ready to break some chains off you, and that the things you thought were really holding you down were as simple as a paper chain. That's how easy it's going to be broken. He went, you could see his eyes tear up because he'd had some bondage type things in his life. Do you see how simple? But I could have really messed up and go, oh, yeah, those things. God wants to talk to you about Christmas trees. And no, that would have been a wrong interpretation. This is where the mistakes are going to be made. Less words are better. Let's say that together. Less words are better. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that a lot of words aren't from God. But the more you get in tune and you know him when he just starts speaking through you, the more you'll give. But where most of you are right now, one word or one, that's perfect. Don't think you have to give a paragraph. I'm telling you, it would have been wrong if you would have prophesied those things on coal. And thank you for all you volunteered. I set you up on purpose. God gave me that because you would never know that my grandfather was a coal miner and that's what killed him.